Session 159, June 2nd, 1965. The Early Sessions, Volume 4. Good evening. Rob, good evening, Seth. Seth, I was not certain, after our last so lengthy session, that I would be greeted with open arms this evening. I know that indeed our last session so involved you, Joseph, in lengthy note-taking and typing chores. I do regret the amount of such work that is necessary. In the last session of our previous session in particular, I attempted to make a more direct emotional communication and to some extent succeeded. We also, of course, experimented to some degree with Rupert's state. He carried on for me very well, and his abilities have once more shown a good degree of advancement. I tried again to speak with you on a much less formal basis. To some extent, there must always be some barriers here, but we can, with practice, overcome many. There is a certain knack necessary on Rupert's part, a difference in the way in which energy is used, a variation of method between sessions in which rather objective material is presented, and in those sessions where we attempt to make a more personal type of contact. The guests of the other evening were most advantageous, their attitudes objective, not gullible people, nor, on the other hand, were they the type who will not admit the results of their own experience. The woman has a large store of energy which she is using with above-average efficiency, but she also has abilities which are not being used. The man is using his energies less effectively, since so much of them are being consumed in nervousness. He has not learned to conserve his energies. But to use them at all, it seems that he must allow them almost to explode, so that there is little reserve. This is unfortunate, but can be corrected. Both of these personalities, however, are basically constructive, creative, and a relationship between the four of you should work out very well, not only on a short-term, but on a long-term basis, with advantages for all. The ulcer problem can indeed be solved by the personality himself. An attempt, however, should not be adopted by the personality, if possible, on an intense or desperate level. This, or any such too intense effort, will tend to make additional drains upon needed energy. The ulcer simply can be cured, but it will involve, on the part of the personality, a disciplined program of self-understanding. Certainly, such a program will be worthwhile. We do not want, for example, the personality to plunge into a solution. Instead, what is advisable is a gradual but definite program that will result in a legitimate and long-lasting cure. I will suggest a brief break, and with your consent, we will speak a while longer on this particular matter. Seth resumes, "Now indeed we will overcome our Rupert's poor suggestions. There are many aspects of our sessions, some that we have developed well, others that we have only begun to develop, and others that are yet to be developed. All of them will be important, and all of them will serve to add dimension to the reality which the sessions involve. This could indeed be thought of in terms of value fulfillment. The sessions will also be helped, in general, by variety, always, of course, within our framework. I will help you and your poor fingers when it seems advisable. You, yourself, are learning to substitute good suggestions for bad ones, and it will help you further to keep this in mind. I did indeed wish to experiment, though not on a spectacular basis, along the lines that we are using this evening. I now and then enjoy sitting at a comfortable table with you, with his eyes open, and it is good training for Rupert. I intend to speak more concerning your friend. We can initiate a program for him. It will perhaps seem like a conservative program, and he will do all of the work. We may not expand this program this evening. When we do, he will see that only good can come from it. It will not involve medicines or drugs. It will involve, perhaps more than anything else, the task of slowly changing the focus of his attention and energies, of turning energies that are being used in a self-destructive manner into constructive channels. This is the main problem. The reason that these energies are being used against the self must and will be uncovered. I will also have, if I'm asked, suggestions for the woman in their relationship that will be most beneficial. I mentioned that the reason for the difficulty had been built up. The personality in the past, in past existences that is, had a history of hitting out at the organs of the various physical bodies that were its home, as other personalities sometimes have histories that include turning destructiveness outward toward others. Such tendencies, again, are of long standing and adopted for various reasons having to do with characteristics of the underlying personality. These cannot be recounted again in one evening, nor would such a performance serve any purpose at this time, listed, so to speak. There are considerations that connect them that must be discussed, if any good will be done. The need for the ulcer was aggravated in the fairly recent past, but the personality is basically flexible enough so that adjustments can be made. There will also be suggestions given to needed adjustments on the part of the personality during his business hours. In other words, there are small but important adjustments that can be made within the framework of his present working life. Also, perhaps an adjustment here on the woman's part that will aid him. I'm going into this because the problem has obviously become an organic one. As a beginning, I would suggest that your friend read our material concerning the formation of physical matter in general, the formation of the physical image, and the physical organs. If he can see that he is indeed responsible for the condition of his physical body in the most practical manner possible, then it will be much easier for him to picture his own cure. I will now suggest your own break. Seth continuing, I am not going to hold a long session, feeling that I have indeed taken much of your time already this week. I'm going to take this instance of your friend's illness, however, to make a few points of my own, some that may not be too well received. A care of any kind will never depend upon any given treatment. It will, in all cases, depend upon the belief on the part of the sufferer that he can be cured. It will depend upon his desire to be cured. It will depend upon the strength of the purpose that an illness serves. It will depend upon, in the last analysis, the individual's own ability to mobilize his own energies, for only these can effect a cure. Any physician of any kind can only help a sufferer mobilize these energies and direct them. A sufferer has adopted an illness into his own image through suggestion, which to a large degree he himself has given. He has caused the illness, whether it be organic or otherwise, and only suggestion will rid him of it. It is indeed quite time for us to discuss the true nature and reality of what is so loosely called suggestion. We have indeed spoken much concerning the focus of energy, and a sufferer is truly entranced with the idea of his illness, and it is only this that basically allows the illness to continue. He focuses upon it both consciously and unconsciously. An illness is a failure to solve a mental or psychological problem in the correct manner. As long as the illness continues, the problem remains unsolved, and a vicious circle is maintained because of this unwholesome balance. The sufferer focuses upon the illness, therefore avoiding his task of functioning upon the problem. The energy that would be used to solve the problem instead is spent maintaining the illness. It is therefore necessary that an attempt be made as soon as possible to solve the problem, which of course must first be discovered by the ego which has avoided it. This first attempt to discover the problem automatically and because of its nature immediately aids the sufferer in changing the focus of his attention away from the symptom, which he has himself formed, and already the symptom is weaker. The trouble with many health programs for recovery is that they cause the sufferer to focus upon his illness more than ever. The unsolved problem is therefore pushed further away. Our program with your friend will almost immediately include a brief but effective suggestion that should be given before sleep and at various times during the day. We ourselves will be concerned for a while with the nature of suggestion in its relationship to action. It should be most beneficial material, practically speaking, and will also add to your knowledge and carry our discussions toward certain directions that I have in mind. If I am, myself, subdued this evening in contrast to my activities in our last session, it is only because I would give you both a needed rest. I particularly enjoyed this session myself. I will now give you a break. I will end the session if you prefer, or I will continue. Rob, we'll take a short break then. Seth, so-called suggestion causes not only sickness but health. The term itself is a very poor one. We will go much more deeply into this as the whole discussion continues. Needless to say, suggestion operates as strongly and as realistically and as practically as an atom or a toad or a leaf as it does in man. Our material concerning the construction of the physical universe and of physical matter in general may now perhaps give you an idea of how important suggestion is. Also, consider our material on expectation, for indeed, expectation comes closer as a term than does suggestion. Our focus of energy is vital, both yours and mine. Expectation, to a large extent, determines the manner in which we will use this energy and the types of constructions that will be formed. Your friend's ulcer, for example, is his problem in its entirety, constructed into the physical matter of his own organism. This is to be taken literally. The problem, as a mental manipulation, has not been settled. The resulting construction, therefore, is a faithful replica of this distortion. In some types of illnesses, such distortions are mirrored or reflected, so to speak, many times within one organism. We will have much more to say along these lines. I will indeed now close our session. For Rupert's benefit, may I here add that in my remarks of our last session, I was speaking of our sessions only and did not mean to take credit for any of Rupert's own creative work. I am saying this in gentle tones to avoid upsetting him further. Jane spoke with a smile. Rob notes. Seth, again my heartiest and most fond wishes to you both. Rupert, incidentally, would do well to be even more aware than usual, since he is at a peak now of psychic activity. Your painting will now spur you on. Rob, good night, Seth. Session 160, June 7, 1965. The Early Sessions, Volume 4. Good evening, Rob. Good evening, Seth. Seth, I would like to make a few remarks concerning such spontaneous sessions as we have had, and particularly concerning our last spontaneous and witnessed session. In the past, we have held few such spontaneous sessions. When Rupert's condition is such that a particularly good trance can be achieved, and when the emotional climate surrounding you is advantageous, then we can do much. It is advantageous to take our opportunity when possible at such times. I have been strict concerning our schedule, since conditioning must be set up, and while we always allowed for some spontaneity, it was necessary that Rupert develop greater efficiency in his handling of the trance state. There are obviously many occasions when his condition unusually suited to hold a spontaneous session, but when the emotional climate is not for one reason or another correct, or when other elements, practical ones to you, may prevent a session. As a general rule, a spontaneous session will be an excellent one. It goes without saying, however, that discretion must be used, and I will not come through without your consent. The consent, however, on your parts may be conscious or unconscious. If, however, you consciously do not want a session and express yourself in this direction, then no session will be held. When no conscious decision has been made, I would be following your subconscious wishes in such a manner. Now, to return to an earlier discussion. What you call suggestion is indeed expectation. You should understand by now how the physical image is constructed. This construction is from the inside out. The inner self attempts to construct a physical image in line with its own self-image. Any errors of the construction have their origin not in the inner self, but in either the personal subconscious or in the ego. As errors and mistakes creep into the physical organic system, bringing forth mutant genes and distortions, so also these mutant genes and distortions are, on a smaller scale, the result of inner distortions within the consciousness of the individual genes. The same sort of distortion occurs on another scale, in the duplication of any given illness or destructive organ or gross misfunctions. What you call suggestion should ideally come from within the self and not from outside the self. I suggest your first break. Returning Seth. I can indeed arrange our evening in such a manner that your traffic will bother us not a bit. When we have gone into the nature of action still much more thoroughly, then you will be able to use such knowledge for quite practical purposes and to your advantage. For as you know, you do not perceive all aspects of action by any means, and it can indeed to some extent be up to you to choose those aspects of action with which you will be concerned, and those which you would ignore. This in no manner affects the nature of those actions which you ignore. However, to all intents and purposes, it changes action in so far as you are concerned with it. This would therefore imply a choice on your part, in a manner that you do not now enjoy. For you can then choose to perceive advantageous action, as well as you can choose not to perceive action which for any reason or another you choose to ignore. This obviously implies powers of discipline and discretion. The ability therefore will not come until you can handle it. Suggestion would of course play a part in the development of these abilities. It is difficult, even though we are so far into our sessions, to give you any full understanding yet of what is involved in the basic nature of suggestion. But as we go deeper into the subject, there will be experiments that you both can try. I have often mentioned that the divisions in our subject matter are often arbitrary and for practical purposes of discussion only. The word suggestion is in itself so bound in your minds with other matters that even I find it difficult not to let the subject matter become suggestive of matters that do not really belong under discussion. Bob notes, Jane leaned forward to tap on the table for emphasis. She smiled. She now acted as though immune to the traffic noise, and I realized that at times I too had forgotten about it as I rode along. Seth, you think, for example, in terms of good and bad suggestions, and I have on occasion used the term myself in order to make a point clear. However, what you call suggestion, left alone, is a part of the inner impetus of action, which is translated in all areas of consciousness outward. What interrupts this inner impetus could be compared to what you call poor suggestion. It is indeed distortive. It represents a blocking of impetus. It interrupts what should be a simultaneous and easy flow of inner impetus outward, in your case outward to physical construction. The particular negative words spoken or thoughts are but indications of this break of impetus. The break occurs first, and it is for this reason that what you call negative suggestions therefore are acted upon. The negative suggestions therefore are symptoms of an inner block of energy and impetus. They represent a rift that has already occurred. It is rather important that I make this point clear. It goes without saying that these, which you call negative suggestions, are in themselves actions. They represent, however, dead eddies, the motion that means nothing in dead water. They are impeding actions. Many, many occasions arise when action could be so impeded and is not. What you call a negative suggestion is never acted upon unless the inner block of energies has already occurred. Suggestion, as I understand it, is the culmination of the inner voice that urges action into ever more diverse and creative patterns. We will have much to say concerning impediments, and impediments, incidentally, are what you call negative suggestions. And yet remember that these impediments are themselves actions. I now suggest your break. What you choose to call suggestion operates unceasingly within all aspects of action. It is this that allows the body its physical manifestation. It is this that allows for all change. It can be called on one level instinct. On other levels, it is much more. When it occurs at its most efficient level, suggestion is indeed the inner affirmation. Without the ego, we do not have what you call negative suggestions. For when action is left to itself, it flows unimpeded, seeking its fulfillment along its numberless unimpeded ways. Your own experiments in psychological time have allowed you to some extent to experience within yourselves such unimpeded action. You know now that the ego, because of its nature, attempts to set itself aside from action. It obviously cannot do so. The ego, being part of action, nevertheless affects the nature of action as seen in the various manifestations of the whole self. The personal subconscious can be thought of as a threshold between the ego and the inner self. Not only can glimmerings of the inner self be glimpsed through the subconscious, but also the diverse characteristics of the ego touch this personal subconscious. When the ego, therefore, becomes too overbearing, it attempts to impede the flow of action. It cannot so impede action directly, for the very act of forming such impediments involves action. Nevertheless, such impediments often set up actions that block the overall movement or direction of the action that composes the whole personality. The delicate inner mechanisms by which inner reality should be constructed into physical reality therefore become seriously affected. Distortions occur almost like mutant mental genes, which are then faithfully and duly reproduced. What you call negative suggestions represent discordant actions. Unless the main reasons are discovered, the distortive actions will keep reoccurring. In many cases, quite a simple exercise will almost immediately begin to make an improvement. With these exercises, you are familiar, for in your psychological time, the self is momentarily in connection with its more extensive portions. A clear and undiverted and unbroken electrical circuit and connection is hereby made. Growth within the physical system is the result of suggestion. Without it, there would be no growth. You will see here that we are beginning our discussion in the simplest of terms, and we will lead further so that eventually suggestion can be understood for what it is. It goes without saying that each newborn consciousness within your system carries within it the capsule comprehension of which I have previously spoken. And if you recall, each atom and molecule, each and every smallest particle that can be by any stretch of the imagination be called physical matter, contains within it its own independent capsule comprehension. Inherent suggestions in coded form, in not one but several codes that give complex instructions for development and growth. If your fingers tire, you may take a break, and we will continue. Returning Seth, there are translations of intent constantly made. The innate comprehension of which we have spoken is a basic portion of all atoms and molecules about which the physical matter is formed, and without which the formation of physical matter would be impossible. You recall, I am sure, the material concerning the gestalt of the physical body. Here, suggestion constantly plays its part in the formation of the tissues, and in all other such areas of development and growth. There are various manners in which these inner suggestions are translated from inner pure energy form into the electrical and chemical systems which compose the physical organisms, and it is possible for errors of translation to occur along these lines. Recall here also the cooperation that exists between the smallest particles and the cells and organs. Each molecule has its own self-image, without which it could not exist as a physical construction. The subconscious has its own self-image. The ego has its own self-image. When action is allowed to flow unimpeded, the cooperation that is necessary to maintain the efficiency of the gestalt is maintained. It is most frequently the error of the ego who upon many occasions attempts to deny its dependency upon this cooperation that sets up impediments and sets up counter-suggestions that can be somewhat considered cancerous. in that if it had its way, the ego would envelop all other aspects of the whole organism and run riot. It will refuse to assimilate certain experiences. This very refusal is in itself an action. It will attempt to construct itself on a physical level, since it is within the physical system of reality. The cooperation is broken down to some greater or lesser degree. This conflicts with the inner data in the case of illnesses, and the illnesses are actually the result of conflicts of data. It is obvious that the body is equipped to handle many such distorted actions, but a conflict is hereby brought into play when constructive energies or actions are not given full rein, and patterns of distortions are set up within the system. If they cannot be overwhelmed, they are assimilated and faithfully reproduced. There are methods whereby you can indeed help your own system, and to a large measure determine the constructive nature of action as it operates within the system, and protect the organisms from such distortions before they occur. I will give you instructions along these lines. Rupert's habit of requesting before he sleeps that his system effortlessly continue its healthful and natural cooperation is a good one, but this is, while helpful, only a very basic and beginning aid. This whole subject is much more complicated than you may at first suppose. Until we had discussed action to some degree, a discussion on suggestion would have meant little to you. We will continue along these lines for some time, even while the subject leads us into others. Since suggestion is used constantly and by every cell in your body, then it is not a question of whether or not you can use suggestion, but of how to use it more effectively. And this will involve a balanced personality, for in such a personality, action will be allowed freedom of expression. The ego will gain and not lose in the process, but we will not have an autocratic and willful ego, but a reasonable and even disciplined ego that is aware of its position, aware of its own dependency, as well as of its own peculiar and unique perspective apartness. For the apartness is dependent upon its being a part of the whole gestalt. We find it most frequently that the ego impedes action by refusals. It attempts to maintain a stability that is indeed illusion. The emotions, as you know, are action. When they are allowed their mobility, then they free the personality from resistances. They actually allow for great stability, since their free expression makes it possible for action to be fulfilled in the manner most constructive for the system as a whole. When the ego impedes such expression, then the emotions are translated into other actions and can turn into impediments. It is only because the ego blocks freedom of the emotional expression out of fear that it appears to the ego that emotions are indeed fearful characteristics. Damned up, they are indeed. It is, again, the ego's misguided attempt to stand apart to gain stability that makes the ego react in such a manner. It fears loss of control and of discipline. But all appearances to the contrary, the emotions are natural controlling devices that in themselves aid discipline, since they allow for the spontaneous flow of energies outward. It is only when they are denied that they become explosive or dangerous to the personality. Then indeed they result in explosive barrages, rantings and shoutings, organic and psychological illnesses, and of unfortunate manifestations. I believe that I have kept you long enough for one evening, and I will here close our session. My fondest regard to you both, and until you master some of the rules for recognizing or ignoring certain portions of action, you can always stuff your ears with cotton. My frisky friend, Joseph, I will now, with due regret, say good evening until our next session. Rob, good evening, Seth.